for the podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5. Exit 216. If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Wow. Wow. I feel like I'm on acid already.
Wow. Wow.
Hey, it's the last 600s episode.
This is the song I thought it was.
It is the song you thought it was?
Oh, it isn't.
Oh, good, because you probably never heard this one before. Pretty new.
There's a bird singing. See, there's that noise again, though. That makes me think it's that other song I was thinking of.
Well, you probably know who it is just by the way it sounds. Anyway, it's Friday, you guys, while we try to figure out this song. Welcome to the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show, the final episode of Season 6. It was a long one.
It was a long season.
We'll explain to you later why Season 6 was so long, but if this guy would just hurry up and start singing, you'd know who it is.
Is it Jack White?
It is. I knew you knew it.
Yeah.
Brand new from the Lazaretto album, which I don't even know if it's out yet. But
he stole that first note from Kenny Rogers, though.
Did he? That?
The stuff right there makes me think the beginning of What Condition My Condition Is In.
That's
that kind of.
And then that bird?
Yeah, that bird. That sounds like Dolly Parton.
Well, Kenny and Dolly had Islands in the Stream, right?
Yeah. She was, she turned into a fish at some point. Dolly Varden.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. But she couldn't swim because she always floated to the top.
Yep. Those fish have the biggest tits of any fish.
They do. That's a big titted fish.
Yep. You can actually get fish breasts, like a chicken breast.
Yep. That's right. Well, this song's called High Ball Stepper from the Lazaretto album. Yeah, brand new.
New
it's
album.
Pretty new. Yeah. The fourth album by Jack White. Can you believe he's already had four solo albums?
Dude, if you want to comparable to that, just go look at how many albums Third Man Records has put out.
That him?
Yeah, it's their studio.
So he said,
like I think it's pushing 100,
and it's all obscure acts too, right?
Yeah, or like the Neil Young's new Q-Stick cover album or whatever it is.
Q-Stick. Yeah, he said it took him 7 to 8 months to get the lyrics for this after the music was recorded. He recorded a full album of music, and it took him 7 to 8 months to get the
lyrics. I can see that.
What?
I can see that.
He said he had to go back to, like, old plays and stuff and screenplays that he was writing when he was 19 to get some inspiration. And a lot of these stories are just kind of...
I can see that.
It's trippy, because when you've done it for so long...
I have a hard time with lyrics beyond, like, one verse sometimes. But, you know, because you always got that real strong part, and then you kind of try to fit it in or whatever. But then on the other side, you got, like, you're your own worst critic kind of a thing. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you're looking at something, and you're like, it could be better, but...
Why ruin
or am I being too critical?
Yeah.
You know, there's a balance in there somewhere.
See, and he must
to
have,
where you just got to get it done.
He must have never come up with lyrics for that because it just had the bird chirping in the background. And that's it.
I wonder what play that was he was working on.
The birds.
Yep.
Fucking, what's his name? Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah. Speaking of Jack White, did you hear Led Zeppelin is getting sued again for that Stairway thing?
I did. And it's a little bit ridiculous, I think.
Do you think they should break down and just write the guy's name down?
No, have you heard the song?
Yeah, I remember we listened to it on the show one time, didn't we?
Well, we listened to a snippet of it during all those other ones. But I listened to the full song. It's about 2.5 minutes, and it's an instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
And it only has the very the very beginning of the song. And that's also what Robert Plant's singing to when he says, there's a lady who sure all that glitters is gold. So it's just a descending, and it's very similar, and Spirit did open for Led Zeppelin.
But
and
it's almost kind of like a mode anyway, isn't it?
It is
right?
A mode. That's what I'm saying. That's what everybody's argument is, and there's no way that
like
those people
it's just
people
a basic,
win.
Like, kind of
So they took this one little part, and that's how you write songs. They heard this part in a song, and they're like, I like that part. I'm going to change it barely, but I'm going to add a whole bunch of stuff to it and put singing
on it. Like, were they doing 12-string guitar in the
original?
No,
and there was no recorder. There were no vocals. It was an instrumental. That song is a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
It turns into a hard-rocking three-chord thing with a great solo, and just the words are intense, and I just don't think that they stand a chance of a... If Randy California already was aware of it, and he died in 97, trying to save his son from drowning. Aww. But I watched some old videos of that band, Spirit. They were pretty cool. They were pretty cool.
Yeah. Randy California was pretty cool. Take anything away from them, of course.
No.
You know, but I mean, I think that that's just kind of what happens in a scene. You know, a lot of scenes are more cutthroat.
Yep.
Than you would imagine, you know, if you within the music and in any profession, there's going to be competition, especially when there's not that much spots for the supreme, you know, when there's not that many headlining gigs.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have that cutthroat competition. I think that probably happens a lot more than you would think, to where there's like one band that kind of rises from a scene, and then all of a sudden, you know, you kind of... The lesser bands that were playing with them, you know, those riffs are probably used in songs.
Yeah, you'll
of
hear.
Those, you know, I mean, imagine how many bands from, well, I guess they broke in Detroit, but like Nickelback, you know, how many bands did they play with that they eventually kind of like just kind of lifted?
Bit their style, you know, bite their style.
Yeah.
Take some of, just a piece of it and say... Like, and there'd be like, say there's 50 bands from Eugene that play a certain type of metal, and one of them rises to the top and they get the most attention, and they still like their friends' band, and they still go see their friends play, and then they hear this riff, and then maybe they might do it intentionally, or they might do it fucking accidentally.
Or maybe
rock a riff and go, fuck, this is a cool riff.
Or maybe they're good friends with the band and want to do a nod, and you know, both bands are kind of... Yeah. And that, no, hey, you know, we inspired that riff that they use in that song. That's totally cool, you know?
Instead, I think that it's just Randy California's family looking for some money.
Certainly.
Yeah.
You know, there's always that thought going on.
And, you know, Jack White does a lot of, like, old school blues and, like, stuff that's covers. I wonder if he ever has any problems with, like, getting sued by people. But here's a funny thing.
He probably pays the royalties, I would imagine, the mechanical royalty.
He compared himself. He said he's kind of like Larry David.
What?
He doesn't have a cell. He's never had a cell phone. He does not have a cell phone to this day. He doesn't like these new gadgets. He hates being bothered with stuff. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a curmudgeon for as old as he is. I think what he meant by comparing himself to Larry David.
Must
like saying curmudgeon. He's never heard of Twitter. Mm-hmm. What is Yahoo? What's Yahoo?
I don't know if I'm well, buying that.
No, that was on a curve thing, wasn't it, or something? What's Yahoo thing?
Yeah, but I wouldn't buy that Jack White doesn't know what that stuff is.
Oh, he knows what it is, but he says that he's never had a cell phone, and he doesn't like to carry stuff. He rarely carries a wallet if he can get away with it. He's weird. He's like, I don't want to have stuff in my hands or my pockets.
I can understand that. It is kind of, you know, because then you got to be, you know, you got to... worry about that, you know. Is it going to get stolen? Am I going to lose it someplace? You know, fucking sometimes it can be uncomfortable.
They're like,
especially if you're wearing tight pants like he does, right?
Yeah, yeah. Tight red pants.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are you going to do? Like, say he got caught in traffic and he's on his way to the gig and he's going to miss sound check and he's going to be late. Can't call because they don't got a cell phone.
Hold on. He's probably not in a car either, so he's not stuck in traffic.
I had to drive a bike. I hate these new fucking fangled inventions. They got cars and phones.
Yeah.
I took a picture.
He's probably on one of those big wheel bikes with the big, huge front wheel.
He still has an aneurysm whenever they say, I took a picture on my phone. Like, what?
Yeah.
You did what? You mean the one from the kitchen with the long cord?
He was always an analog freak, though, even in
he
recording.
Still is. Yeah,
and stuff like that.
He's like, Pro Tools, what? What's Pro Tools? But yeah, I'd read a story about Jack White, and it had a lot of information. I didn't even... That was all just from memory, but it was interesting enough to me to remember it and say that he doesn't have a cell phone. He's got a new album coming out. He couldn't think of any lyrics for 7 or 8 months. But yeah, Jack White. Still pretty awesome dude, I think.
Yeah, if you don't look at him.
Well, I'm not talking about his looks. I'm talking about his resume. So, I guess
sometimes when I look at him, he just reminds me of, like, he might be going that Michael Jackson route, where that's super weird. You know, because he is pretty weird.
He owns a lot of artists weird are, shit.
But sometimes he gets super weird. Like, he just looks like he's a pasty guy, but he looks like he even puts white makeup on top of that sometimes.
His real name is something else. John something.
What?
Yeah.
John Thirdman?
John Ellis or something weird. Mm. Totally normal sounding. That's the one thing I can't remember for sure from the article. But
do you think it was Meg White in that video?
Which one?
Her sex tape.
I don't think I guess I saw a little part of it. I don't think it was.
I thought it might have been.
I've seen quite a few of those just to out myself, like on Pornhub or RedTube. Yeah. Where it'll be like Miley Cyrus sex tape video. You can tell.
You just know Miley Cyrus, that's probably not going to be.
Yeah, but it looks like her.
Yeah.
And you're going, wow.
There are people that look like each other. Like, yeah. I could probably take place in a Robert Trujillo sex tape.
Sure. Yeah. If we could find someone who looked like maybe Avril Lavigne, we could get a feud going on between Robert and Chad from fucking Nickelback.
Yeah. There you go.
Because Avril Lavigne, I think her and Chad Kroeger are going to make records together now.
Oh, really?
Nickelback Lavigne.
I didn't even know that they were married.
I don't know if they're married, but they're definitely fucking.
Huh. I knew those one people were married, Gwyneth Paltrow and that guy from Coldplay.
Oh, but they... See, you back. Ooh, you heard that whole debacle, didn't you?
Well, I try not to hear... I see headlines and stuff, so I know that things, and then Gwyneth Paltrow apparently says some stuff.
Dude, she made the most ridiculous statement.
Uh-huh.
I can't even remember it.
She said, I'm Gwyneth Paltrow. Was it about mothering?
No, it was about them separating and what they called it, and she said, we are, it was so lame. I'm going to look it up.
She has the child, Apple, right? Is there chilled?
They have a kid named Apple?
Well, I think, isn't she the one that named their son Apple?
Maybe. I don't know.
Apple Paltrow? Or would it be Martin? Chris Martin, that's the guy's name, right?
Yeah, the guy from Coldplay.
Mm-hmm. Coldplay. Those guys...
Dude, why do
I don't
people...
know if I've even heard any more than a popular song.
I don't see why people talk... in a good light about that band. I mean, they're good musicians, but I don't like their songs. It was a conscious uncoupling. That's what she called their separation.
A conscious uncoupling. Okay, so they both decided...
that they're not going to be a couple anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not getting a divorce. It's a conscious uncoupling. That's what she blogged, and everybody made a big deal about it. It was pretty funny, though. See, that's how short of time it took me to find that on Google. And now it says either Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow are back together or ... And I'm not going to click on it, so fuck that. But, yeah. A conscious uncoupling. What about an unconscious coupling? That's called date rape.
Yeah. That is, would be.
I would like to do a conscious coupling, unconscious coupling of Gwyneth Paltrow. Now she can sue me. Because you're not supposed to make rape jokes.
I liked her in that one movie.
On Facebook?
He liked
her on Facebook?
Yeah, The Royal Tenenbaums. I would like that page.
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie. I like that. That was good. That was good. I need to rewatch that. Gene Hackman. He's totally Hackman.
Dude, that whole movie is just
it's
odd.
It's a little surreal.
It is, and a lot of it has to do with the way it's shot, you know, and they're just the whole surroundings behind them, and then the way the camera angles are angled at the close-ups and stuff.
That's not a Farrelly Brothers, is it?
What
is
no, it? That's Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson did Tenenbaums?
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah, he did.
You learn something new every minute.
He did also... it's that one with Steve Murray. Bill Murray, The Life Aquatic.
Never saw that.
I did. Okay. It was like an even drier Royal Tenenbaums.
Ah.
Almost so that it was, I don't know. I only watched the once. Royal Tenenbaums I watched a few times, and I always enjoy that movie. It's so well done, and even Owen Wilson, who I'm not a big fan of watching his movies, even though I, you know, But it's all right.
When it came out, it was before we were totally tired of his nasally voice that sounds like he's really always mm-hmm. asking a question.
Yep. And he kind of played a douchey dude, so it was all right.
You're really playing the like, part yep, well.
Yep. They're right in the wheelhouse of my suspended belief.
Is that a thing? The wheelhouse of my suspended belief.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, speaking of baseball.
Baseball have been very, very good to me.
You remember that cat that fought that dog you were talking about earlier in the week?
Internet sensation.
I know. He got to throw out the first pitch at a game.
Dude, I
at
was
a baseball
gonna,
game.
I was going to mention that on Wednesday's show because uh-huh. I saw the headline and I just scrolled on past because I'm like, dude, a cat cannot throw a pitch. It has no plausible thumbs.
How far do you think it went?
Like, probably farther than that one person that did it not too long ago that yeah. made a joke
threw
about
it right in the dirt.
Yeah, did the cat throw it farther than her? I don't know.
I didn't see. Well, they were up there with its owner. They just didn't like
meow.
Yeah, they just kind of like opened the door for and the cat just wanders around. Could you imagine how far, long it would take for a cat if you just like opened up the dugout? He came out of the dugout. How long it would take him to get to the mound?
It would come out when it wanted to come out.
I know exactly.
You could go, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah. Come on. Maybe if you dressed the ball up like a dog and rolled it past him like, towards the kid. And he's like, yep. rah! And it just mm-hmm. like, oh, man. Yeah, I saw that story, but I was afraid to read it.
That's what I would have done is I would have somehow rigged up a ball to where and kind of dangled it there to where it could have batted it with its paw.
Yeah.
And then that would have been like the, you know, and then it would have went from there.
Yeah. I know dog owners think the cats are stupid because, you know, you can train a dog to fetch and sit and roll mm-hmm. over and stuff like that. But cats are pretty fucking smart. They just, they're nobody's puppet. All right. They could do that shit. Like our mm-hmm. cat now, some of our outdoor cats have found a way. They climb up a tree and jump onto the roof and they go upstairs and then they pull the screen out. of the window and come in the house.
Cats have abstract thoughts, though, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
And maybe even dogs, you know? But I've never seen, like, a dog work its way into places like that, you know?
Like a cat?
Like, yeah, or, like, work their way into a cupboard.
Yeah.
You know, or learn to open the door, even.
Or get their head stuck in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, there's a peanut in that one.
Yeah.
Meow! Yeah, so we just all of a sudden have a cat fight in our house, and I'm like, wait, our two indoor cats totally love each other. What is going mm-hmm. on? Oh, there's an intruder from upstairs. Old Gramps.
There's an unconscious coupling going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Gramps had got in the window, and Gramps is a girl cat, but that's mm-hmm. just the way things go with our daughter who has weird named cats. But she's going to probably become a crazy cat lady.
Oh, really?
I got concerns about
how many cats do you have to own to become a crazy cat lady?
Well, right.
First,
now.
You have to live by yourself, right?
At one time, she had 40.
What?
And she's only 21. Okay, so now
40 cats.
Well, they were like 3 litters of kittens.
Mm-hmm. That's still, I mean, that's a
They're
load.
All cats. They're all cats. So check this out. Right now, in case anybody's looking for some kittens, she's got 5 outdoor cats. One of them's her boyfriend's, but they're all hers. So she's got 5 adult cats. 2 of them just had litters. One of them had 4 and one of them had 7, so we've got 11 plus 5. So right now she's got like 17 cats. I wow. go, we're not keeping those and whatever, because they're getting ready to get their place and they're taking their cats and everything, so it's going to be all good. But our house is probably getting the neighborhood reputation of being that house where all the cats are.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to be that house, but she says she's going to take them. She works at Circle K. She's going to take them to the Humane Society and say she went to take the garbage out. She works graveyard 3 mm-hmm. in the morning, and she found this box of kitties.
You thought about building them a kennel back there?
Fuck that. Hell no.
No, just so you could have them all in one cage.
No. So I could shoot at them all at once? Dude, my dad's cat's been going away for like... For once, it was gone for 2 months, and then it came back for like a week, mm-hmm. and then it left for 2 weeks, and then it comes back, and then it was gone for 3 weeks, comes back for like 3 days.
I've had cats like that.
What the fuck? Where are they? What are they doing?
They just show up every couple weeks and get fed and looked at, and then they go missing again.
It's weird. How does?
Yeah, I don't even think that they are you know, they're either spending a lot of time everywhere or a lot of time at one other location.
Where there's people think, oh, look at this cat. We'll take care of him for a couple weeks. And then they're like, oh, that cat took off.
Yep. He always takes off for one day every 2 weeks.
And then they have two cats. One's a male, one's a female. They fix the female. She used to run off too, but now she just stays home all the time. He's like, they're really kind of like people. This is my dad's voice. They're really kind of like people.
You chop their nuts off and they'll stay home?
Yep. And then the other one, he just goes out. He goes, I don't know if he got married and had kids and went out and he's gone for 2 months. Then he comes back and he was beat up and his paw was kind of broken a little bit. And we kind of nursed him back to health and thought he was going to stay. And he's gone for 2 weeks. And then he came back for 3 days. He goes, it's not really fair to us. Like, what do you want him to tell you? I'm going to be gone for about 3 weeks. I'm going to go down the street here for a while. Just look this way. You won't have to feed me for that time.
Mm-hmm.
But just know that I'll be safe. I'm just hanging out. Meow. That's what that means.
Don't come and visit.
Meow.
Maybe. My mom, sometimes her cat will meow. And then, a few times. So I'll be like, all right, I'll get it. I'll come over and pet you. And then... Then, as I walk closer, just walk away like 3 steps, just out of reach, and meow again.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to play that game.
Do they want something usually? If I'm getting bothered like that, I'll think that they're just being a cat and being a dick.
Well, they shouldn't expect any treats from me because I never feed them.
Usually when my cat's doing like that, so she'll come wake me up or something. Like if it's 10, I'm still sleeping, and she'll be like in my face, and then she'll be like purring and meowing and rubbing on me, and I'll go, okay, and then... I'll get up and she'll jump down real fast. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I just stood up. She's like ready to run into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Like, and she's looking in the doorway, like looking at me and then looking in the kitchen and looking at me like, come on. And then I start to walk and then she starts to run and then I fuck with her and I stop. And then she stops and comes back and looks at me, looks in the kitchen because it's kind of around the corner there. And then I'll get in there and her dish will always be empty when she's doing that. So she's coming to me and she's saying, hey, my dish is empty. Come in here, and she'll run, and then she'll look at me, and she'll look in the kitchen. So she's like pretty much communicating with me. And her other little dickhead cat, Lucy, she's a girl, but she's a dick. She will drag the water dish into the middle of the floor when it's empty. And it's one of those plastic ones that has like a reservoir on it that fills up itself so we don't have to do it every day. It lasts about 3 or 4 days. That thing will get empty, and it's just, I've never seen her do it. But we'll wake up and it'll be right in the middle of the floor, empty. Like, what the fuck? She's like, Lucy moves that in the middle of the floor when she's out of water. And she'll also poop right in front of the litter box when it's too full. Like if we didn't change it.
What a princess.
She's like, hey, I was going to go into the litter box like I'm supposed to, but you asshole humans, I'm not going to go in there and dig around in my own poop just to poop more on my poop and then cover my poop up with my poop. Because sometimes, you know, days go by and you forget to clean out the cat box.
You know why they cover up their poop?
Because it's gross.
Nope.
Same reason we flush it.
No, not unless you flush your poop to keep predators away.
That's why I flush my poop. I used to keep all my poop in my bathroom, and then thieves and murderers started coming in my house.
Wow. See, out in the wild, you poop. You know, and it's a sign that, like, well, other animals will smell it, and they'll go, oh, there's an animal over there. So that's why cats cover up their poop. And so when cats don't cover up their poop, if you have a cat that doesn't cover up their poop, it's because they figure that they're the dominant one in the relationship.
Yeah.
See, they're covering their poop up because they don't want you to come down and eat them.
Yeah, or eat their poop.
Yep.
And I know you can appreciate this because my wife gets about as pissed as you do about cats shitting in your yard.
I've given up.
We got it. Well, it's still okay to bitch about it sometimes.
I do.
We got a neighbor's dog that likes to come over and shit in our yard when they have a perfectly good yard for shitting themselves.
Yep.
And they think maybe because our lawnmower was broken and we weren't mowing our lawn regularly yet that it was okay. But I have on several occasions through the window witness this fucking dick next door, and I can call him that because I'm friends with the people that live there, but he's like the father-in-law of one of those, so he's the father of one of them, and he like lives in the garage. Come on, dude, you're living in your...
You feel safe there, though.
Well, whatever.
Like Rivers Cuomo.
Yeah, exactly like Rivers Cuomo, because Rivers used to do this too. He'd let his dog just go shit in the neighbor's yard, watch the dog go into the yard and watch him shit, and then say, get over here,
That would be to the nth degree with me, because that would just drive me up the wall.
The fucking gall. I mean, really? And then I go open the window. Hey, get out of here, you dumb dog. And he's like, get over here. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to start a fight with the neighbor, so I'm going to bitch about it on the podcast. I'm not going to go over there to him and say, you know, I just watched you stand there and watch your dog. Even a lot of 90% of people would probably do that.
It upsets me. There's a walkway on the way, like a shortcut, little path on the way to the store, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a little, just a walkway, because there's school around here, and I guess it's easier to get to that other side of the neighborhood without having to go to the street with all the cars. I don't know why they put it there. But it's kind of like there's grass on both sides. It's almost like a little small park. It's bigger than that smallest park in Portland.
Right.
You know, but there every like day there's a new fresh dog turd there. And the next day it's flat. And there's a new one. Right?
Yep.
So it's like people are stepping in this, and it's got to be somebody close by, and it's, why wouldn't you take a baggie with you? I mean, it's not that difficult. You know, you don't even get anything if you turn it inside out, and then you like grab it, pick it up, and then, you know, your hand's clean, and then you go and throw it. Even if you put it in a baggie and then just dropped it, someone else will pick it up.
And as fucked as it is, I'm the type of person, if that's a place where I'm going to walk by every day or every other day, and there's a shit, I'm going to bring a bag and pick that shit up and throw it right next to the sidewalk. Because, like, I got pissed the other day because our cat did her little princess thing and said, oh, the fuck, and it wasn't even that full. Come on, Lucy. So, litter box is a little too full for me right now. I'm going to poop right in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hadn't been up. I hadn't been in the kitchen. I hadn't seen it. Mm-hmm. Next thing I hear is the three of the kids going, ugh, gross, I'm going to puke. Not my cat. Ugh, look at this and that. And fucking, I was like, dude, you got to get that. Pick that up. Well, I don't have a tissue. And then, like, he's like, get a thing. Oh, I'm going to throw up. I got to go, sir. And I come out there. I go, so you guys are just going to stand around fucking hemming and hawing, going, who's going to pick up the cat shit? And then just all scatter like cockroaches. Wow. Oh, that's too gross. Not my cat. Fucking assholes. And they're like, oh, because when Terry gets mad, they're like, oh shit, Terry's mad, and he actually said something about it. So I just grab one of those Walmart or Dairy Mart bags that you just, you know, fold it inside out, grab the shit with the bag, pull it, and I was like, fuck, see how hard that was? It took me 2 seconds, and I was in the bedroom. You guys were right here saying, I don't got a napkin, that's not my cat, I'm going to throw up. You fucking assholes, I'm going to kill you.
That's funny.
Dana made them all come out. We had our first outside little fire pit a few nights ago.
I don't know.
And she's like, all right, everybody's coming outside. Because Mike was there and his girlfriend, and Brandon was there and his girlfriend, and Dakota was there, and Acacia was there and her boyfriend. And it was a fucking,
it's a house party.
It was Bob Saget, dude. It was full house. Mm-hmm. And so she goes, everyone's coming outside. We're going to roast marshmallows and we're going to have a little discussion. We're going to have some family time. So you can't get Mike or Brandon off their Xboxes or whatever they're playing. She comes in there and she's like, I will disconnect this fucking internet and take the router outside with me. Everyone's coming outside. They're like, God, Mom.
Did everybody play on their phones outside?
No, we made them leave all their devices inside.
Ooh, device-free night.
It didn't last long because they were all...
DFN. Oh, were they having panic attacks without their...
No, they were just being fucking shitty to be around and ruining our... It's like, if they don't let us go in, we'll just make them have a really terrible time by going, God, Mom, I'm fucking 23, but I'm acting like I'm 7 right now. Can't you just fucking pretend I'm 7 and let me go in? And then she's had this big talk with him saying, you know... And it was awesome because I didn't even put her up to it. She's like, this is Terry's childhood home where he grew up, and you guys are all living here, and you guys are all adults, and you guys don't have jobs, and the least you could do would clean up and show a little respect, because you know that he isn't the kind of person that's going to just bitch at you guys all the time, but just gave a big speech.
Yep.
And everybody's like, yeah, we know, blah, 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 they're all cool, blah, smoke some weed, whatever, and then go in the house, and the next night, dishes everywhere. It did nothing. It's gonna be boot time. I tried, but they're going to boot camp, which is just when I kick them out of the house with my boot, and then they have to go camping because they're homeless.
You could do a boot camp though, in the style of, like, you know, because just like in a public speaking boot camp, right? And so you're working on some comedy bits. Maybe you go into a character of a drill instructor, right? And then you just go to town. You're just the drill instructor for 3 weeks.
This is a character I'm working on for a fucking movie that I'm in.
Yep.
You guys think it's funny?
Yep.
Drop and give me 20. Some shit I say rhymes, but not all the times. My name's Sergeant Stadicko. I'm a stud and I'm a dick, and I'm going to fucking kick your guys' ashes. Now, ashes. I'm going to burn you to the ground, and then I'm going to kick your ashes. Now, get in there and wash them dishes.
They're probably, well, I was going to say, they're old enough to buy alcohol now.
Yeah.
They don't have to have, they used to, they've actually asked me. People ever ask you to buy alcohol for them? You've been 21 for
back in the day.
When you were just barely 21?
Yeah, when I was hanging out with
but you've seen the scenario.
Tim and Jared, you know, and those guys.
Because you were one of the first out of the crew to be 21.
Yeah, or I was just the only guy, because those guys are all up like 17, 18 at the time.
Yeah. But have you ever actually seen, you know, I've seen the scenario on movies all the time where there's some kids just hanging out in front of the liquor store.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? Like approached?
No.
Have you ever seen anybody just go, hey, mister?
I've seen people hanging outside. I've been offered by people outside of a store, like, will you buy me some beer inside?
Yeah, but not like kids, though. But
yeah, they were kids.
Hey, mister.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a couple times.
Our friend lost his ID. Do you think you could buy us some beer?
You know, I got to say no, because I don't want to put myself in the chance of going to jail for someone I don't know.
Not when you're just outside the place.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know what's going on or what their parents are thinking. Because with Tim and Jared and all those guys, you know, their parents knew where they were and they were in a house and they weren't going anywhere, you know.
They'd rather have them drinking at home than drinking out.
Exactly. I'd rather know where they are, you know. And I don't know about the rest of the parents, I guess, but I knew Tim's, you know, didn't care and they were going to drink one way or another.
I even felt weird buying for people that were my friends and, like, not even going to the store with them. Like, give me the money at my house and drive to the store. And I'm like, fuck, I go to the store all the time and I never buy beer.
Yep.
You're going to know I'm buying beer for someone else. I don't even buy beer.
I know. I never buy beer, but this is all I'm buying and it's loads of it this time.
And I got my money in my pocket, not my wallet. I always have my money in my wallet. They're like, well, he just bought beer for somebody. How do you know? Because he never buys beer, and he always keeps his money in his fucking pocket.
Yep. Or his wallet. And he always pays with a debit card, but this time he's paying in all pennies and nickels.
Yeah. People at stores probably notice shit like that. Because I go into the Dairy Mart, like, it's right behind my house, or across the thing from my house. So they all get to know me if they work there for a while. They call me Terry. They see my buying habits. They can call what I'm going to buy.
Yeah. They have your stuff ready. That's from behind the counter before you want it.
Like, we can go into the bar uptown and actually be corny as hell and say, we'll take the regular.
We'll take the usual.
Nice.
And they're like, okay, burger split in half, no tomatoes, no onions, but onions on the side of half with tater tots with a little thing of Thousand Islands and some ranch and some ketchup. Pepsi and
ice. Half your burger with onions and half without?
No, we've just been splitting a burger lately because they're pretty big and you get a lot of tater tots and it's just... So we'll go in there and split a burger, but I don't like no onions or tomatoes, but she likes onions. So she'll get onions on the side.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of hard, you know,
to
put half onions on there.
Onions are pretty watery.
They float
a lot of flavor around.
Yeah, if you get an onion on them and then you take them off, you still kind of got a little onions.
You ever go to McDonald's, you get the no onions on your burger, and there's like one piece of onion, and you know it's on there somewhere, but you don't know until you bite into it.
Because you can taste it and smell it.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, there's an onion piece somewhere in here. How long until I bite into it? And then it's like...
Always leery at McDonald's because she has onions, I don't, so everything smells like onions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, smelling onions... I'm just waiting for that crunch of that vegetable-y.
Yeah, or the heavy taste of it, and you're just like, oh.
And like, I'll catch a piece of lettuce and go, oh wait, it was just lettuce. Good. Whew, thought that was onion for a second.
The onions ruined the enormous breakfast sandwich for me from Burger King.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because those, you know, they're good. They're like a huge hoagie bun, and it was slathered with egg and bacon and other crap on there. But one time I bit in there, and there was an onion on there. And I was like, and I haven't eaten one since. It was like, killed it for me. I was like, I don't even want to take a chance ever again. You know, maybe that's, it's because it's so hard to check beforehand with all that egg and stuff in there. Eggs from fast food always make me leery anyway.
Dude, lately, anything from fast food is making me leery. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It can't be that much different than the food we buy and cook ourselves, but it's a little different.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that it doesn't mold. A lot of they've been doing a lot of
tests.
Well,
there's so much preservatives. There's a lot of preservatives in food you buy at the supermarket, though, too.
Yeah, like, but that stuff will mold in like 2 days.
Like Rice Roni or something like that.
But if you cook something and leave it in your fridge, my shit molds. Like, you probably still got KFC bisque.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Old bisque.
I haven't checked it in a long while, though.
Probably
break it out someday.
Don't say break. It'll crumble into pieces, probably.
Yeah, last time it was hard as a rock. I should paint it.
Yeah, you should, and tell people it is a rock.
Yeah, I should paint it, at least paint eyes on it.
You paint it in, that's too meta. I was going to say you could paint it gray like a rock and then paint a biscuit. Say, this is the rock that looks so much like a KFC biscuit. I painted it like a KFC biscuit.
And then,
but I just really painted it like a rock and then painted it like a paint. And then you could, peel off the layers and they're like, it is a biscuit.
I might have to paint mold on it.
That is so meta.
You know, Burger King's changing their slogan. You know their slogan?
Oh, dude, I was just telling my wife about this the other day.
Have it your way.
Yeah, and I asked her the same question.
40 years.
I said, you know Burger King's slogan? She's like, yeah, have it your way. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, you know what the new one is? And she's all, no. And I told her, and she's like, she thought I said it wrong. Say it.
No, it's stupid. It's
be your way.
Be your way.
Dude, is this word conservation or what?
First of all, I don't like it because it's grammatically incorrect.
Right. It's kind of like the
Army. Not that I'm perfect in grammar.
The Army thing. What the Army thing used to be. Army.
It's be not all just you can.
Oh, yeah. Be all you can be. And then now
be
it's
all
just,
you be.
Now it's just like Army. Be. Or something.
What?
That's probably not correct, but that's close. It's like they shortened one of their
be
just be, because
be all
be all you be. Yeah, be your way. I heard some other people talking about this, and they were like, I think it was the dude, I think it was Big from the Big and Loud. He's all, fuck you, Burger King. I am my way. I'll always be my way.
You know,
fuck, I'm me.
You know, the big thing, though, is that is over their heads, I think, at the company is like, as far as their branding message, nobody's like living the Burger King lifestyle. Are
they? Is there such a thing?
I think that's how, I think that they're under the idea that people are like, they're a lifestyle. Burger King is a lifestyle. I think that's what they're trying to be. But nobody attains to, like, live the Burger King lifestyle. I'm a king.
They should make a sitcom out of it. I can already hear
it. Be your way. That's how I live. Living the Burger King lifestyle.
Living the Burger King lifestyle.
Yeah.
Be your way.
What would that even be? You'd probably wear that crown.
You
would have to wear the crown on a regular basis of your everyday life.
You've got a definite princess complex.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, my shit don't stink because I just eat Burger King. Wait, Burger King. Burger King.
Yeah, I enjoyed they had the Xbox games they came out with for a while.
Burger King?
Yeah, and they had 3 Xbox games.
Oh, where the king did some shit, right?
Yeah, there's Sneak King.
Sneaking up on you.
That's what he did. You'd have to creep up at like job sites.
Yeah.
At like a construction site, I remember was one of the levels. And you'd have to be super sneaky. It was like those sniper type games, you know, that were really Splinter Cell.
Those kind of
games. And so you had to sneak up to people like behind buildings and stuff. And surprise them with a value meal.
Sneaking up on you.
And then you'd get points. But once you were seen, game over.
So that would be something that someone who lived the Burger King lifestyle would enjoy doing. I like to eat Whoppers.
Yep.
Sometimes a junior Whopper. Mm-hmm. Some call it Whopper Jr. And then I'll play my Xbox game, sneaking.
But the Whopper is probably the worst looking sandwich of them all, isn't it, though, when you get it?
It looks so much different on the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's and I know why, like, that is.
Dude, it's always like sloppy and sideways, like hanging to one side.
I saw this on, because I follow McDonald's Australia on Facebook. I don't follow McDonald's America, but I like to know what's going on with the Australian McDonald's.
All right.
That's, because sometimes, I remember one time they had American burgers in Australia, and there were some funky things. They had like the California one, and it had like lime and something weird, honey dressing.
Yeah.
And one was the New York burger, and it was just like your standard
piece of steak on a raw.
Yeah, and with mayonnaise on it or something like that.
Here's a steak with some mayonnaise,
and then
you put a shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah, and then they had the Texas burger that had a barbecue sauce.
Do they sell shrimp there at the Australian?
I don't think so. But they had a good post one time, and I thought it was really funny, because I don't think, I think in America, McDonald's would rather just lie to us and tell us that we get the burger that's exactly how it looks.
Yeah.
You know, but in Australia, they had a post and they said, it showed the, like, the McDonald's burger all
shitty,
you know, shitty. And it said, made by a guy making a minimum wage in like 30 seconds. And then it shows the nice picture from the ad and says, you know, photoshopped and worked and carefully stacked and glued for 4 hours.
And it's not even real
food. With perfect lighting. Yeah.
It's like a piece of fucking furniture.
Yeah. Because they don't even, I know, like, for fish and stuff, if you cook fish to its edible thing, it doesn't look good.
No.
But for photography and stuff, they just cook it like a little bit. So, you know, it still has its full body of fishness and it looks nice for the picture. But, you know, if they just cooked it all the way down, you'd have all that dried skin and all that kind of stuff.
I saw a fucking website one time that was telling a lot of the things that they use in commercials and in photography for advertising that isn't the actual food, because the actual food itself doesn't photograph well and it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
So they just use stuff that looks like it.
There's food artists.
I know, dude.
They use, like, Elmer's glue for, like, milk.
That's the one of the things, and
so it looks like it's all thick and pouring and it's all constant, but it looks nothing like that.
Yeah, I like to drink Elmer's glue. So now you've inspired me. I'm going to start following the New Zealand McDonald's.
Yeah,
they might have a kiwi burger.
Might,
you know, they call them kiwis from over there, and I found out why recently. I've been doing some New Zealand whatever you call it. What do you call it? Research. That's what you call. And I'm working on my accent, obviously. Kiwi's a bird, actually.
Kiwi is a bird?
In New Zealand, yes.
Oh, wow.
It's not a fruit. It's a bird. And
so
it's
a state fruit.
It's a motionless bird.
It's an oceanless bird.
Motionless, not oceanless. It's a bird with no sea in it. It's motionless. So I guess what was a kiwis are just fucking lazy. We just sit around motionless, doing nothing all day, fucking doing nothing. Motionless. Kiwi. You fucking Kiwi. That's why the Australians get pissed when we call them Aussies.
You know, there's an Aussie in that show House.
Aussie and Harriet?
Mm-hmm. And so he's an English guy playing an American, and then there's an Australian guy playing an Australian.
Well, is that Hugh Laurie?
And then there's
English guy playing an English guy.
And then there's the black guy who's playing a white guy. Omar Epps.
Well, then you got...
No, that's real acting. I've been really watching that show, and I got to say that I got a couple seasons left, and I think I might actually miss that show when I'm done watching it.
Because it's been over for a long time, right?
Yeah. But I tried watching some of that guy's, what was it called? A Bit of Fry and Laurie.
Okay.
Well, you know, Stephen Fry and him were comedy partners.
Right.
Back in like 89 to 93, I think it was on.
Yep.
That was kind of weird, kind of funny. I watched one skit where Hugh Laurie was a father going to a schoolmaster, and the school had told his son that a man and a woman having sex could lead to a baby. And he didn't want the school filling his head with lies like that. And so Stephen Fry was the schoolmaster, and he's like, "Well, what? How do you think babies happen?" And the guy's like, "Well, you kind of first you get married, and then you just kind of, you get a house, then you just kind of wait a while.
And they bring you a baby.
You just kind of wait a while, and then one day he's there.
The hospital brings it to you.
Yeah. But it was pretty funny in a kind of dry Monty Python way, and there was like intertwining things in between the skits, like some weird dry poetry reading that they did.
Yeah.
It was pretty dry, but it's weird to watch him like that 20 years before, and he's all British,
yeah,
you know, and after seeing a character that he did as an American, which he attributes his accent from watching so much American TV and movies. Yeah.
That's the only way I can do other accents is from watching stuff that I've watched on TV.
Yeah. And
on fucking TV.
He didn't... the people, the producers of that show, did not want to hire someone from overseas. They wanted the quintessential American.
Well, he must have fought for that part and said, fuck you, I'm trying.
Was in Namibia.
What's that?
It's a place in Africa, I think. He was filming a movie and he shot from his hotel bathroom.
His
he improvised,
audition?
Yeah, his audition with an umbrella for a cane. And... yeah, and the guy didn't even know he was British.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. As long as he didn't know who the dude was and didn't know he was British.
He was so impressed how well he was able to grasp the character. And he felt guilty for making so much money playing a doctor when his dad was a doctor and never made that much money.
Ooh, yeah.
Kind of crazy, wouldn't it?
He felt real guilty when he was cashing those checks, yeah. I bet. Man,
$300,000 to $400,000 an episode.
The guilt is bloody killing me over here. I can't stand it.
Dude, you know, who else would you imagine in that role? There was others that were thought for the role.
George Clooney.
Such as Dennis Leary. Dude, could you imagine him?
Dude, he's way too pissed.
He would. He
It'd
would.
Be funny, though.
It's kind of like a Sherlockian Holmes doctor, and I don't know if I could see Dennis Leary, like, putting all the weird random facts together to create a diagnosis.
It'd be hard to believe.
Yeah.
If you knew who Dennis Leary was, if you didn't, maybe not.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're like, I don't know who this guy is from Adam. But.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're not that he couldn't have done it, but Patrick Dempsey. Are you a big Patrick Dempsey fan?
Not too familiar.
Me neither. I know, kind of know who he is, but...
I'm thinking of Patrick someone else. Dalton.
Timothy Dalton?
Yeah. The
leg, they kind of look the same.
The leg off of that thing on South Park...
Was Timothy Dalton's leg?
Wasn't that? No, what? No. Who's the guy from Dallas?
J.R. Ewing?
No, the old show. That show, yes. But the guy that played on that show.
The new one or the old one?
The old one. Oh, the name you said reminded me of it. Michael Dempsey.
You're talking about the guy who played James Bond for a while?
No. Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah.
No. He was Remington Steele. Remember that
Patrick
show?
Patrick Dempsey, that's him. He was, wasn't he on Step by Step?
Oh, yeah. I guess I kind of recognize him, but I'm not familiar with his shizzle.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been. I would rather have, of course, after it's already said and done, in hindsight, I would
certainly
rather see Hugh Laurie do it than any of those guys. Mm-hmm. But
how about Rob Morrow?
Nah.
You know that guy from Northern Exposure?
Yeah.
And he was on Numbers, which was another show that was going around at the time. And one of the guys from House was going to go out for that show, but there was too much scenes of him in there.
Too many scenes?
Yeah, he's like, the less I work, the happier I am.
And I still get paid the same.
Yep, and David Cross... Could you imagine David Cross?
Hell no.
I don't know if that show would have been as popular with any of those actors. I don't know if it would have taken off as much.
I don't know. They were actually considering David Cross?
Yeah.
With or without mustache? Because there's a big difference. I know he never had one back.
He probably would have just... I don't know.
There's been some shows when he's had some mustache action.
Yeah. Well, Tobias did, didn't he?
Yeah. Big time. He's so gay. I am curious, though, what's going on? When's that movie going to come out of Arrested Development?
I don't know.
It was supposed to have come out. And,
I think it's in Arrested Development.
It's currently in development.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were going to do another season or something. I don't know what's going on.
Did you watch How Far Can Fargo?
Dude, fucking mindfuck this last episode.
Wasn't it, dude?
I had to rewind and watch part of it again.
I had to rewatch that ending like three or four times.
I had to watch two episodes ago to make sure that the dude that found the money in the fucking snow two episodes ago wasn't the fucking same dude that fucking buried the money in the snow. And maybe
it wasn't.
I thought it was. It wasn't. No.
What?
What happened two episodes ago is in the future, which hasn't happened yet, because that dude just buried that stuff and put the red ice scraper in the ice.
Yeah, no, he's reburying it so he didn't have to pay the ransom.
He's reburying it?
No, he found it and then he buried it, right?
No, it was a different dude. So you're going to have to watch it all again.
Fuck.
It's a total mind fuck, the whole thing. And then fucking
it is.
That dude taping that guy up with the shotgun and fucking putting the shotgun in the window and all that shit with the
car. That was, you know who that guy is though, right?
The guy that he killed?
Yeah, you know who that is?
You mean in real life?
Yeah.
Isn't it the guy from Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I thought. I almost couldn't believe it, but yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that was crazy. That was probably...
That's mastermind shit.
That snow, that blizzard scene, shootout scene.
Oh, dude.
That was probably one of the most entertaining things I've seen in a long time on a TV show. Just like the white out blizzard.
The way
shooting.
It was shot.
Yeah, and then fucking, what about Tom Hanks' son? He's in trouble now.
Oh, he killed his girlfriend, which I know he liked her.
Yeah, I don't know if he killed her, though, did he?
Well, he shot her.
Yeah.
She's down in the snow.
Yep. I know. Watch out.
She wasn't moving.
You know something bad was happening. Why do you... I think part of the blame's on her, though. I mean, why do you wander away like that?
Yeah, well, she was...
Into the blizzard.
She's real nosy, you know. She wants to find out what's going
on.
Yeah,
but come on. You know that you might just be shot by the guy that just said that he didn't want to be a cop.
Yeah. I wanted to be a mailman. Hey, Hans, you might not know what we're talking about, but you should watch Fargo. I think you'd enjoy it.
If you
get FX, you check it out, dude. Or go online. I bet they got episodes on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always listening
to
CDs.
One guy plays so far out there from his Always Sunny. I had to look it up to make sure it was him, because it was like...
You know what's funny?
Kind of reminds me of him, but he's so far, he doesn't
look
like him.
With his Minnesota accent, too.
Yeah.
Until you just asked me... I never even thought about it, but once you asked me, and I go, who does that look like? And that's the first thing I said,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know if that was going to be right or not, but
that's
pretty good. So, yeah, Hans, watch Fargo. If you've never seen the movie, go back and watch the movie. It has nothing to do with the series, but you get FX, Hans? I don't know. Hans is listening to some punk rock today.
Mm-hmm.
The album's called Milo Goes to College.
Huh.
Can you name the band? It's an 80s punk rock band.
Bad Milo.
That's a movie. He's listening
that's a fucking
to
weird movie.
The Descendants.
Ah, the Descendants.
Milo goes to college.
Descendants.
It's ants.
Descendants.
It's Descend ants.
Descend ants.
Yep. And Deadkind ants. I was listening to Mastodon Leviathan, which is a good. It has a Moby Dick theme to the whole album, which is pretty awesome.
I always said Leviathan.
Leviathan. Probably is Leviathan. I always called it Leviathan.
No, it is Leviathan, I do believe.
I heard that
CEO... That is a mythical monster.
The CEO from Leviathan, from Levi's 501s, he said that you should never wash your jeans.
Never.
Dude, that's fucking gross. He's obviously a fucking CEO that sits in an office and wears jeans once a month and then fucking puts them back in his closet. He said a good spot wash will just be fine. That you don't have to ever wash your jeans. And that way you can make a pair of 501s last your entire life. You know how fucking stink-ass it's going to be after a while?
Yeah.
Do you ever watch Marin? Have you been watching Marin? I always ask you.
I watched
remember.
A couple.
Did you watch the Ray Romano one?
No. Just a couple from last season.
Dude, the Ray Romano one from this week.
Dominatrix.
Fucking hilarious, dude. Mm-hmm. He has Ray Romano on his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like... Ray was pretty cool.
Yeah, he does a lot of talking about stuff, and then he turns out being a total douchebag.
But yeah, his assistant's like, yeah, that guy's a condescending dick. He called me buddy boy or big guy.
Buddy boy.
Like. He's like, hey there, big guy, thanks. Get some coffee or whatever. And
so Mark's like, he actually hung out. He's like, maybe we could be like friends and I could call him and hang out. He's like, his assistant's like, you know how desperate you'd sound if you called? He goes, you guys don't even have anything in common. yeah, but he's cool, and I want to hang out with him. And then he ended up like,
here, hold these bags while I'm on the phone.
And he's like holding bags and giving him money, and then he ends up in the National Enquirer and says that Mark Maron's his new, like, bitch boy. It's like, look, he's carrying his bags and opening his car for him. It was pretty good, though. I got a good chuckle out of the episode this week. And I also need to rewatch it, but last night was the premiere of Last Comics Standing. Last Comic Standing. I can't believe how many already famous people are on there, dude. Did you watch it?
Mm-mm.
It's on NBC. It was a two-hour premiere. J.B. Smoove is the host. He's funny.
So they have to remain standing. And the last person to sit down wins?
Yep.
All right.
Actually, that's not true, but the judges are Roseanne Barr,
mm-hmm.
Keenan Ivory Wayans,
mm-hmm.
and Russell Peters, Rusty mm-hmm. Peters.
mm-hmm.
But it was pretty good. I didn't get to see the whole thing, but I was just amazed by how many people who are on it who I've already seen on Comedy Central and Gotham City Comedy Club Live, and like they're already established comedians, but they don't have a TV deal, and that's what you win. You win an exorbitant amount of money, $250,000 or something.
Mm.
That might be more.
And
a development deal.
I'm already going to guess Roseanne's going to win.
No, she's not. She's a judge.
Yeah, but she's also that one person on the show.
She said some mean stuff to this one guy, and he was like, you know what? The first thing I wanted to hear out of your mouth would be like a compliment, not something derogatory. Yeah. And she said, fuck you. She got pissed at him, told him to fuck off and stuff. Because he started with a stupid joke. He waited like 21 seconds as he was looking at a piece of paper on live TV. And then he's like, what? You guys telling me that you're going to go to work and get to work as soon as you get there? Which is an old hack joke.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell Peters called him out on it. He's like, that's an old joke. He's like, and for you to use an old joke like that and then waste 21 seconds of your time on national television, not a smart move. You know, it was the only person they really picked on.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, it wasn't like American Idol. They didn't show a lot of unfunny people and say, look, this is funny. He thinks he's funny. Because you can't do that with comedy. You can't show people failing at comedy and it be something that people want to watch.
Yeah.
Like, you see someone failing singing, it's funny because you can make fun of them. But if you see someone telling stupid jokes, it's not really that good. But I think they brought through like 10 or 14 onto the next round.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many it's going to be, but... it's just another one of those shows, dude.
I think Roseanne will win amongst the judges.
You think? I noticed they have a black guy, a woman, and then a Latino.
I think they should do... I think they should do the best of the last comic standings and have all the hosts... or have all the hosts and judges...
do their own stand-up?
Do in the competition.
And compete against each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they got Roseanne, Russell Jay Peters.
Moore.
And then you got, like, Andy Kindler, Natasha Leggero.
Greg Giraldo.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, you could just play a best-of clip.
Hologram!
Yeah?
Yeah. They had hologram. Michael Jackson hauling out grams.
A Hall & Oates hologram.
They'd have Daryl Hall, but then they'd have an Oat hologram. Because they don't want him to be working. But yeah, I'm going to rewatch it just to see. But I tried to watch it with an open mind and think, hey, it's comedy. I love comedy. I love stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another one of those shows, dude, where they showed this one story about this guy who's living in his van. And he's like, I've just always done comedy and I live in my van. And if I win, you know, maybe I'll still live in my van.
And then you hear two of their jokes and then that's it.
That's why you're living in a van. And then they do, like, some people get the full 4 minutes or 5 minutes on TV and then they get the full critique. But then they'll show like clips of like 10 or 20 seconds of a bunch of people, I guess, who weren't good enough.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like they do on American Idol, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They'll show someone sing a whole song, and then the judges will give their full critique, and they'll go, also, and these, and then they'll show, like, little clips of people doing stuff. But for the most part, there's pretty funny people on there, but it's just another one of those stupid Hollywood shows.
It's kind of weird that the judges, none of those guys have their own show. And the prize is a show?
Yeah. Roseanne had that show on Discovery Channel or whatever where she was a peanut farmer or whatever.
What?
You never heard of that?
Maybe I have.
It was a couple years ago. And Russell Peters is the second highest
ticket
yeah,
seller.
Yeah, but he doesn't have his own show.
Who needs a show when you make $21 million in 1 year selling tickets?
I don't know.
Fucking $21 million.
A lot of money on a show.
Hey, speaking of $21 million tickets, did you hear who's coming to Eugene?
$21 million man.
That's $21 million tickets. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers coming to Eugene, Oregon.
Wow, huh?
Yeah, 14 nights. You can't buy tickets to the same different nights. You got to give your ID. So, you know, it's 600 people a night, 6 times 14. That works out. It's an extended stay. No, he's playing the Matthew Knight Arena.
Uh-huh.
So I heard about it. First person I text, you know, who would I text?
Pat.
Yep. I said, hey, because I know I'd get an instant reply. And, of course, I did. At 11:30 mm-hmm. in the day, hey, Pat. Tom Petty's coming to Eugene. He's like, what? Where? What a ticket? I was like, at Matthew Knight Arena, tickets are probably like $1 million. And he's like,
I would say 70.
He texted me back, said the cheapest were 150. For the cheapest. I paid 50 in 1995 or somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that at the, yeah, the OSU?
Reese's. Yeah.
Reese's
at the peanut butter at the peanut butter cup. At the peanut butter cup. It's like the Hollywood Bowl, but it's a peanut butter cup.
I always say it's the house that Potato Salad built.
But I heard Steve Winwood was touring with him.
Uh-huh.
So he would probably
what?
Be there. Yeah. He can't find his way home. He's still on tour. But they're playing the Gorge and the Roseland.
I would
Rose Garden.
If I was going to pay $150, I'd go and see him at the Gorge.
Yeah. For sure. Well, those tickets are probably $250. Who knows?
Nah.
Say that again.
Nah. I would hope not.
Nah.
I got one result for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Matthew Knight Arena.
Ticket. I don't think they're on sale yet, though. They might have went on sale tickets this morning.
Oh, I got here $80.
What?
For section 205. Oh, that Pat, sounds realistic, though.
Pat said, well, Pat must have been floor seats or something. He just said cheapest 150, but he probably went to, like, StubHub.com because ever since I stubbed him that one time, he always goes to StubHub.
Oh, they go up there, though. Don't get me wrong, because the most expensive one's $275.
Never in my life would I pay $275 to watch Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers play. I'm
trying
sorry.
To think if I ever saw Tom Petty on the floor. I don't know if I've ever seen him from the floor.
Nope, I've only seen him on the stage.
Well, it's always been seated places where I saw him.
I saw him
at the Memorial Coliseum, I think. And I think one I saw him at the Rose Garden, and then I saw him at the OSU.
Damn, I've only seen him once. And he was lying on the floor at the party. He'd done too much heroin that night. No, I'm just kidding. But you know who was on the What the Fuck podcast a couple weeks ago was Benmont Tench. You're like, who the fuck?
This sounds familiar. I'm trying to put it together.
Well, who were we just talking about?
Tom Petty.
Yeah, he's a heartbreaker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
He's
yeah.
that keyboard player that mm-hmm. was an original member of Mudcrutch back in the Dizzle. But yeah, Maron usually doesn't have a lot of comics on his podcast anymore. He has like musicians and weird people.
And Tom Petty was on that?
No, Benmont Tench was. He's Tom Petty's left-hand man. Mike Campbell's the right-hand man. Benmont Tench.
Dude,
right,
these prices are all fucked up for the
yeah,
Tom Petty thing.
I don't doubt it, dude.
Let me tell you what. For $275, you get in section 105, but for a dollar less, you get in section 106, and for a dollar less than that, you get in 105. For
$260 less?
$275, $274, $273. There's some tickets at $267.
What fucking site are you on, dude?
$265.
Are you on? Hey. Are you on LSD.com?
This is Concert Ticket Center.
That sounds like a legitimate website.
Yep. I don't know. But yeah, it looks like $80 for a section 205, and that's probably the worst of the seats.
I think there is not a 300 section, so yes, you are
and
correct.
And it is Steve Winwood there, too, with it. So, I don't know. Is Steve Winwood worth a $30 expansion on your ticket price?
I leave my money alone, because I can't find my way home.
Yeah, I first saw him on the Wildflowers.
That would have been a great tour.
And love that I do believe that was at the Memorial Coliseum. And then what was the one at the Gill Coliseum?
That was
the last DJ?
Yes, I believe it. Well, no, maybe.
Or was it Echoes?
I think it was. Fuck, I don't know. Probably Echo.
Because last DJ was a while ago. That's like 2001 now. I didn't even realize it would have been that
Dude,
long.
This was in the 90s.
What?
It had to have been. Because I was with my other girlfriend. Wasn't it like 99?
I could believe that. Maybe 98.
Who knows? You went with Pat, right?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, don't forget, it's our birthday weekend. We're two, and then we're going to have our 300th episode on Monday. We might change the format up or do something special for you if we can think of something cool to do. Or we might just do what we always do. I'm trying to think of some cool shit. But, hey, in case anyone's wondering that doesn't know, why is it episode 699 when it's really only episode 299? Well, because we were doing episodes.
Somebody holds the key.
We were doing episodes that were like season one, episode one, up to whatever. And then it would go episode season two would be 200, whatever. We got to six, and then we realized that we weren't going to have an episode 666. We're pretty big on devil worship, so we decided to just keep going. And then we were going to stop at 66, but then we just said, fuck it. Be easier to keep track of what episode we're on. So now.
It matched so well up with the other hundreds.
Yeah, and 699 is now 299, so episode 700 will actually be our 300th episode going into our new seventh season, I guess, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that's going to happen on Monday, so don't forget to go give us some money.
What's your favorite Steve Winwood song ever?
Probably Can't Find My Way Home.
It's not Higher Love.
No, and it's not Valerie either.
Valerie!
Is that come and see! Valerie! Come and see me!
I never knew that song was named Valerie.
I'm
is that what he's saying?
The same boy I used to be. Yeah, it's called Valerie. It's about Eddie Van Halen's wife. He had a big crush on
Bert and Nelly!
Come on me! Eddie! It's about Eddie and Valerie.
Overalls. He was always big into overalls.
Yeah, they were always big on him. He seemed to wear ones that were too big for him.
You know, Steve Winwood's done a lot of session work. Did you know Steve Winwood played with Chris Nipp?
Nope.
Did you know he played on Electric Ladyland?
Yep.
Did you know he played on The City of Love?
I don't know what that is.
It's a Jimi Hendrix album from 1971.
I'm sweaty.
Oh, The Cry of Love.
Oh, I was going to say, what? Is that a Nicolas Cage movie?
The Cry of Love.
The City of Love.
He played with Lou Reed on Berlin.
Berlin?
Mm-hmm. He played with Robert Palmer. Now, that'd be a duo. On Robert Palmer's album, Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley. You ever hear that one?
That might have a... Doctor, give her the news. I got a bad case of loving Jews.
He played with David Gilmour on About Face.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And he played with Billy Joel on The Bridge.
And he played with himself in the bathroom.
And he played with Slash on Hey Joe.
Where are you going with that guitar in your hand?
Yep. And he played on Eric Clapton's Old Sock.
Damn, that's a smelly old thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yep, so I only mentioned it for a second, but I'm going to mention it again. Go to our website, tagcastpodcast.com, and click on the donate icon over on the left there. Yep. Give us some money. I don't think any's coming in, you guys. But I did hear from Hans. He said he's broke right now, but he will be sending us a check at the first of the month. So see, take fucking suit. Follow suits. Take suits.
A dollar will make you holler.
You're going to love the way you look. I guarantee it. Follow suit. Go. Oh, dude, you can't say that. That's our new sponsor, Men's Warehouse. I am wearing a dapper suit right now because I'm almost done with my challenge.
It's weird that Levi's wants you to wash your Levi's once a year, but Maytag wants you to wash them every day.
Fuck yeah, twice a day.
Yep.
rinse, wash, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. That's what I always say. All right, and also, yeah, we could use a sponsor or two. If you guys have a business that's maybe like, mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember this, but we're heard all around the world.
We are heard all around the world in over 110 countries.
So it'd actually be more, whatever you call it, better.
Beneficial?
Beneficial, viable for someone who has an internet business, say stamps.com, mm-hmm. someone like that. And mm-hmm. we could...
Cats.com?
Yeah.
Bubbles. What is that, cats.com? Have you ever went there?
No, but I bet there's cats there. It's probably just a whole bunch of pussy. Black pussy. It's probably cats masturbating, which I didn't know was
a thing.
It's
probably a site and then just has ads going to other places.
Yeah.
The domain cats.com is for sale. How much do you think that would be?
It'd probably be about $9.99.
It does have a picture of a cat and then it has related links. It's one of those sites.
Cats.com. That's mm-hmm. short and to the point, man. You could type that in quickly. That ain't nothing like tagcastpodcast.com.
Yep, what would you put on there, cats.com?
Just pictures of cat pussy. Or videos of cats masturbating. Which
that would be cool, is to have a picture of cats and then a naked chick and then a picture of a cat and then a picture of a naked chick.
I just put emojis on it.
Emojis?
Do you know what emojis are?
Is that a Japanese emotion?
No, they're those little emoticon things.
A Japanese emotion.
People use, like... You don't watch At Midnight enough to know what an emoji is.
Mm.
Okay.
What's an emoji?
It's like a little emoticon,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know why that is. Don't call it emoticon. Because it's more graphic. It's more detailed. It's like a little cartoon, like a little pile of shit or a little heart or like a little...
Oh, I like the little shit pile.
Yeah, you know, those are little emojis, and you can put them in your twits or your tweets.
It's a non-face...
And
face.
So sometimes they'll take like three or four emojis in a row to try to tell you a sentence. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's a game that they have on At Midnight. Sometimes they'll show three emojis and they'll say, okay, for 100 points, tell me what they mean by this emoji. And it'll be like a pile of shit and then a cat and then like a heart or something like mm-hmm. that. And that's just an example I made up. And they'd say, oh, I love cat shit. Oh, yeah, good one. Points. But yeah, emojis. I didn't
points.
Know.
Points.
Nobody understands the point system. Ron Funches was on that again. And just because I have a big crush on him and I always like to promote him, don't forget to watch NBC next Thursday for his premiere of his big old fucking sitcom.
Nope.
Undateable, dude. Watch it. It's going to be right. funny. He plays Shelby.
Why is he going to be undateable?
Because. And that was another thing. They're all undateable. It's like a house full of guys. Mm-hmm. And they're all undateable for different reasons. He's undateable. I can't remember why. You'll have to watch the show to find out.
All right.
Anyway, just a quick plug for NBC. Like, they fucking need it. God damn. God damn. The Pusher Man.
You know who else has their own show? Tim Allen.
Is it a TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a nighttime talk show?
Mm-hmm. It's on every Friday night.
Really? What's it called? Tool Time?
Nope. It's called...
Tim Allen?
I don't know. It's something. He runs a sporting goods store.
Is it a sitcom?
Yeah. It's been on forever, too.
Oh, isn't it called Home Improvement?
Nope.
Oh, it's a new one. Okay. It's not called Comics Unleashed with
Byron
Allen.
It's called Last Man Standing.
Oh. That's yep. kind of... Okay. I've never even heard of it.
You never heard of Last Man Standing?
I thought that was a movie
with
Bruce Willis.
American television star staring.
Star staring?
Star staring.
He's staring straight at the stars.
Tim Allen and that one chick, Nancy Travis. It was created by Jack Burditt.
Is that Randy's sister? Randy Travis?
Yeah, I think it is. It's composed by Monty Montgomery and Carl Thiel.
Monty Montgomery? Hello, this is Monty Montgomery. This is a new character I just came up with, and he doesn't have any type of...
The premise is he's a senior executive and director of marketing at an outdoor sporting goods store in Denver, Colorado, whose world is filled by women, especially at home with his wife and three daughters, one of whom is a single mother. So it's the opposite of Home Improvement, because he had three boys in that one.
That sounds like a totally boring show. I don't want to watch it.
I don't know. It's not that good.
You ever watch it?
I've seen it because it comes on just before Shark Tank, and there's not much going on at 8 other than King of the Hill. So now I watch King of the Hill.
It comes on right after Comics Unleashed with Byron Allen, and I always watch that. So it just seemed to be.
Did you ever watch the Adult Swim and their little promos that they do?
Not lately, but I have before.
Dude, they're fucking weird.
The little black screen with the writing on it?
Oh, the last one, they're talking like, based on the popularity of our schedule at 4 a.m., we moved our shows from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. And as we say, moving to midnight and fuck all you people.
It's just all nonsense.
Yeah, and I'm like, what?
I've noticed that too. You know, that might be the new wave of comedy, just totally nonsensical. Because, dude, have you ever watched any new episodes of Comedy Bang Bang recently?
Oh, well, yeah. God. Well, he likes nonsensical comedy. Skogerman.
The one I was watching with Patton Oswalt, which is, I think, the season premiere. He's like, and Reggie Watts. And he's like, why'd you call me Reggie? And he's like, is that your name, isn't it? He's like, no, I told you before, my name's Ryan. He's like, all this time I've been calling you Reggie? He's like, I told you it was Ryan. It rhymes with lion. Duh. And he's like, but it says Reggie in the credits. And he's like, that's a typo. He's like, all right. Ryan Watts on the and then Patton Oswalt comes. He's like, hey, Ryan, what's up? And he's like, wait, you knew his name was Ryan? He's like, duh. Reggie doesn't rhyme with lion. God. And it's just surreal. The way they're writing, what they perform. He likes that
irreverent humor.
And they act so dorky when they do it.
Yep.
Agree to disagree. That was one of their scenes.
Like the one, I think it was season one, where he was brought in a student director with John Hamm or whatever to direct a scene, part of the interview. And then there was action scenes and shit in there. And Skogerman, he directed the scene while he was doing the interview, so he kept saying, camera two, zoom to camera two. And then he'd ask a question, and then he'd be all talking direction without even listening to the answer. John Hamm. Dude, Colbert ripped it out the other day when they had the guy from Mad TV, Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
On there. And he said straight up, and he's like, now you're airing the first 8 episodes this year, the first half of the season this year, and you're saving the last 8 episodes for next year, or is what some people might call next season.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, and the guy said that they were doing it all for hype, basically. He's like, well, they did it in Breaking Bad because the director or the creator couldn't. He had a scheduling conflict, so they had to move half the season back. But we just did it because it was so cool for them. That's basically what he said. It's like, it worked for them building all this hype, so we thought it'd work for this.
It's true, though. People get pissed about it, but it hypes it up, and then more people watch it because people are bitching about it, saying, I can't believe that they split the seasons up. And then, like, what seasons? The people who don't know about it, they're like, oh, good, I'll watch the first half of this season, and then they'll caught up, and then fucking everybody, 5,100,000 people watch it.
Yeah, but it was organic in the way that it happened with the Breaking Bad, so it was kind of built hype. But this, they're forcing it, so I think it's more of a
negative thing. I've never watched Mad Men yet, but I might watch it someday.
I watched first 5 seasons. Do you know how much I remember of it?
What, you watched that yesterday?
None of it. No, I watched it at some point.
Yeah.
Because it shows on my Netflix that I watched the episodes, but I swear I stopped after the first season.
Nope, you watched them all. You were in a fucking binge haze.
I must have, or just had them on in the back. I must have, I might have just had them on like in a tab on the background.
Yeah.
So I never watched them. I just listened to them.
Yeah. But you probably turned the volume down.
To listen just to. Let them play.
Just to give them better
just
ratings.
Just kept autoplaying it.
Like, it's more famous on Netflix now because I did not watch it while I watched it. All right. Well, shit, we better get on out of here unless you got anything else to say.
Did you hear about that guy who tried to have sex with an ATM at a bar?
I saw the headline once again, scrolled past it, because I knew you'd bring it up.
Yep.
What did he do? Did he put his dick in the slot?
He couldn't get it in there, I guess, so he just started humping the air, and then they sent him outside to wait for the authorities, and he tried to hump the picnic table.
It's not against the law to hump air.
It's not. Well, if you're naked.
Oh, was he completely naked?
I think so.
That could be a problem.
Or at least he had his Connie Chung out.
I've never heard it called that. Did you just make that up?
Well, it's kind of a reference to Wang Chung, who's married to Connie Chung.
Right? Oh, that's her. No, I thought that was her son.
It might be, because she's married to...
Mari.
Yeah, Mari Povich.
And he Povich.
He is a Povich. You Povich.
Because Connie Chung, he's a Povich. Yep. And then what happened? Oh, yeah. They had a little Wang.
They were one of, you know, they were an early famous interracial couple, weren't they?
Yeah, and that's why they grounded their son at such an early age, because all Wang Chung wanted to do is have fun. Everybody, Wang Chung. Hey, everybody, come over to Wang Chung's house.
I wonder what the rest of that album's like.
Don't you remember Dance Hall Days Now?
Yeah.
Well, that might have been a different album. I think that was a follow-up hit.
Yeah.
It went from... Oh, ice. I would do bye. What the fuck happened to that song?
They did have weird, you know, that after Wang Chung Tonight.
Dance Hall Days Now. What the fuck is a dance hall day?
I don't know. Dance Hall and Oates Now.
Dance Hall Days Now.
Dance Hall Oates Now.
I heard Garfunkel and Oates got their own show now, too.
What? What channel?
Comedy Central.
Those bastard bitches.
Why are they bitches?
I don't know.
Because they
probably have a song about them being bitches.
We're bastard bitches. Garfunkel and Oates.
Yep.
I play the ukulele.
They're funny.
She sings on my coat.
I always like when I see him in a show, like in a guest role or something.
Totally naked
or like
for
as
5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, that was just weird, though.
Do you think it's true that they actually casted that and wrote that part for her just because they wanted to see her naked for 5 minutes?
I think
at least Tom Lennon was honest about it.
Yep.
And what was that show? I can't remember right now. It wasn't Bad Milo. It was that other one. It was, you know.
I don't know which one it was. The one with Rob Corddry?
Yeah.
Wasn't he in it?
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of it.
And it had the dude from Key and Peele on it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll remember by Monday, you guys.
Was it a horror movie spoof?
Yeah. It was like his wife was like a vampire or something.
Meat hooks or something.
We're such stoners, we can't even remember the name of the movie.
All right, I'm looking it up. Rob Corddry.
So anyway, you guys, please tune in for Monday because it's going to be our 300th episode.
What's where?
We're going to have our cake and eat it too for our second birthday, which happens Sunday. Thanks
for
listening.
Warm bodies.
No. Warm bodies?
I don't know.
We'll remember it by Monday. Thanks, guys, for listening, and please donate if you can.
Please.
Or at least go to Amazon and shop.
Donate if you can.
And have a good weekend. And we'll see you. I'll never see you. I'm never going to see you. You'll hear us again on Monday.
Hell, baby.
That's it. Hell, baby. Fucking hell, yeah. Peace out. Nookas.
Yep. Rock on.
Battle.